If you could turn with me to our scripture reading, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 this morning. And this is reading of God's word. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Being a pastor for the past 30 plus years, and especially at one local church, it comes with much privileges, and I experience much joy. I witness God's amazing grace of saving sinners. I witness my brothers and sisters from all age range maturing in their faith, way they think, how they live, what they do with their resources. I also witness God's faithfulness to many. I share with you, we have one individual that I had the privilege of baptizing as an infant, got a chance to confirm her in her faith, to be a communicant member of this church. I had the privilege of officiating her wedding. And several years ago, I had the privilege of baptizing her child. And I don't think that can be witnessed unless you stay at a church for a while. But 30 plus years at one church, I experience, and I still do, much pain in this congregation. Sicknesses, a death long time ago, hearing about wayward children, uncertainty of our congregation's financial situations, a sick child. I've been asking myself privately, why to this degree, God, lately? I raised the question within my own heart, why this long for certain families? You see, this question arises within my own heart because of my theological standing. I believe that God is sovereign, that he is all-powerful. At the same time, we have a God who is love. In other words, I believe these questions arise within my own heart because God can stop these hardships at any time. But he doesn't. And many of us are on a journey, a theological quest to resolve this apparent tension. There's two ways of approaching much pain and hardship in life. You see, an oncologist will discover cancer, but the person who has cancer, their experience is quite different. Understanding the dynamics of how cancer works and affects the body versus experiencing cancer personally, it's quite different. One, think about how to treat it, and the other, how to go through the treatment. This morning's passage, a great man of faith, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, shares his pain. From both theological perspective and from his personal experience. It's a story of healing, but without healing. This Wednesday begins the Lenten season. That's 40 days leading up to Easter, excluding Sundays. And we'll begin a teaching series, The Basics of Christianity, next Sunday. But for this Sunday, what's been pretty burdening my heart, this aspect of understanding pain, even perpetual ones. For that, we turn to this passage that I just read this morning. And for us to follow and easier to understand, the title of the message is Thorn and Gospel. And I divided the message into three parts: Paul's thorn, Paul's quest, and Paul's resolution. What are you going through today? What is the dark cloud over your head? The uncertainty, anxiety, even great pain. So we begin. First, Paul's thorn, verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So it's important to understand the context of this letter, of why Paul is actually sharing of his personal pain. You see, some Christians at Corinth have turned their back on the apostle, the very person who brought the gospel to the city. The reason? They begin to compare Paul with other teachers. You see, they begin to compare. Other people were great public speakers, and yet Paul was not. Other speakers were pretty well off financially, but Paul is always poor. The other speakers were not really hindered in their life, and yet Paul is always suffering and persecuted. And therefore, they question his apostleship. And so the content of this letter, and actually this latter portion, Paul is defending his apostleship. But his defense is not rooted into push down his authority to the people who have turned their back on him. It's pretty winsome. It's pretty reasonable. It's very caring writings. It is rooted in his genuine care for the spiritual well-being of the Corinthians, the very ones who turned his back on. You see, if they discard the messenger, they will lose the message. So toward the end of this letter, Paul begins to share his personal pain. He states, a thorn was given him in the flesh. When the New Testament and the Old Testament, when we look at this particular word, it's translated either thorn or stake. A stake is usually used as an instrument of torture or execution, so it communicates excruciating pain. The word thorn is actually correlated with Moses' teaching when the Israelites going into the promised land, he said, push out the Canaanites. If you don't, they will become a barb in your eyes. It's like a snare. Sharp object that causes constant pain. So Paul says, a thorn was given me. Something that stayed with them, that was painful, and it didn't go away. So the question comes, what was the thorn? What do you think it is? Well, the scholars are quite divided in this, and they categorize into four different parts or four different to describe thorn. Number one, they say it might be physical because you get the hint of this throughout if you read other Paul's writing. They think it might be that he had some eye problem or even epilepsy. He has seizures or some kind of disability. Or number two, moral thorn. Some scholars think that he actually wrestled with a particular sin. And you and I know true that there are a lot of temptation, but there are one or two sins that's quite prominent in our lives and consistent. Others think it's emotional. When you read Paul's writing, he talks about that he's the least of the apostles or abnormally born. And the reason behind it was his past. He actually persecuted the church and oversaw the martyr or execution of Stephen. And possibly because of that, and it's not a paralyzing guilt or shame, but something he carried with him for all of his life. Or possibly it's relational. Oppositions. He had many. People around him that would cause him pain, excruciating at times. But the question is, we're not sure how to conclude it. And thank God we don't, because it would apply very generally to all of us who are reading this passage. But whatever it was, the scholars agreed that it was painful and constant. And you see this committed and courageous apostle actually pleads with God three times to take it away from me. If you read his bio, he went through pretty tough stuff. So the question this morning is, do you have a thorn in your flesh? Physical, moral, emotional, relational. Something that's painful and it doesn't go away. Maybe a dark cloud over your head that's been there for a long time. Maybe you prayed, God, if you take this away, I think I can serve and love you more faithfully and more with conviction. Maybe it's your health for some of you. Maybe it deals with your child. Maybe it's certain mental issues. Maybe your past sins, although forgiven. So the question becomes, how did Paul deal with his thorn in the flesh? We're told he prayed. He pleaded three times. And his conclusion? Two things. A thorn was given me in the flesh. In the original language, we would classify this as divine passive. In other words, either God gave it to him or God allowed it, we're told. Number two, a messenger of Satan to harass me. In other words, what God allowed or what God has given to him, a thorn, Satan, a messenger, used it to harass him, give him pain, discourage him, to bring him doubt. Notice both are present tense. Harassing is ongoing because God allowed it. Biblical principle, church, it was God's will. You can answer that. It's okay. It was God's will for Paul to have this thorn. It was allowed by God under the supervision of Satan and his messengers. That was Paul's conclusion. So whatever you may go through today, your thorn, it might be pretty painful, cause uncertainty about the future. What you and I may need today is not removal of this thorn, or to understand where it came from, but to know that it's not an accident, it's not a random occurrence, might not be a result of your sin, but the beginning point to deal with thorns in our flesh, but to understand who allowed it, that it's under the supervision of God himself. I think that's the best place to start. Because you don't blame circumstances or you don't blame other things. You begin knowing that God is good and loving, brought this into our life. Even it may be something that is perpetual. What a child needs sometimes is not some explanation how life works. You know, when I spent time with my granddaughter, one time I had to take her to the doctor's office because we were watching her, and my son and son-in-law and my daughter went on a trip. Baby got sick, went to the doctor's office. And she was, what, 2 or 3, didn't know what's going on. All she could trust was she would look into my eyes and said, "Haji, it's going to be okay." And sometimes that's what we need. Know that God allowed it and oversees it. Paul's thorn, even the great apostle, has something in his life that caused him great pain that didn't end. Second, Paul's quest. And through his quest, he discovers two things that you and I need to discover over and over. Verses 8 through 9a. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So there was a pursuit, a quest. Paul wanted to know. He knew God. Doctrinally, he was very sound, that he was sovereign and love. So Paul pleaded, that's a pretty strong word, pleaded 3 times that God would take this away. He could, but he didn't. You know, 3 times here does not communicate literal 3 times. It captures the earnestness. It captures a desperateness of an apostle. You see, first thing to do when we discover pain in our life is not to tell the whole world, "And look at me." First place that you and I can go is on our knees before God. And for some reason, we don't do that. He has redeemed us. He hears us. And as Pastor Joe has taught last Sunday, he provides a place for us. So Paul pleads, and God answers. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Church, can I get a hand if you understand what this means? Like, honestly, do you and I truly understand when God answers, my grace is sufficient for you, in other words, you have enough. It's sufficient. You lack nothing. Why? For my power is made perfect in weakness. So we're not told how Paul heard this truth. Was it an audible voice from God? My guess, most likely not, when Paul is deeply engaged in prayer before God. The desperateness and asking and the work of the Holy Spirit bring this internally in his heart, a conviction with clarity that God's grace is sufficient for you. How did he come to this conclusion? Is he some masochistic guy who loves pain? I think you discover number one. Notice at the beginning, the thorn was given to keep me from becoming conceited. He states that twice in verse 7. Yes, Satan is harassing him. He's doubting. It's painful. It's unbearing sometime. But he realized that God is using this to keep Paul from becoming conceited. That's both present tense. What Satan is doing and what God is doing. Ongoing. So Paul discovers that his pain, that his thorn is painful. He realizes it keeps him humble and grounded. Why is that significant? Because I don't think you and I understand the utter devastation they can do when we have a conceited heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse C says, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Do you hear what that Bible says? It's an active word. If you're proud, God actively opposes you and I. But if you're humble, he actively gives us grace. And this is what God was doing. And we will see why later. Discovery number two, as he sought God's heart. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God's transformative power, we're told, is made perfect in weakness. The phrase made perfect communicates, becomes a reality. It's experiential. Paul says, what I know of Christ's power here came home here. And that's why in verse 9b, Paul says, therefore, after experiencing this, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is significant. So that the power of Christ rests upon me. He boasts in his weakness. That's my treasure. That's my everything. Why? In my weakness and helplessness, it causes the power of Christ to rest upon me. What does that mean, the power of Christ resting on us? The phrase, rest upon me, is a vocabulary used in the Old Testament when the tabernacle was built and God came down in this great thick cloud. And it says he pitched his tent. That's what it means. When Jesus became incarnate, the invisible one, God the Son, came into this world in human form. We're told in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt, pitched his tent with us. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the future of God's presence with his people, he will dwell among his people. In other words, Paul says, the reason I treasure in, not in my pain, but the experiences it brings, is that the truth of the gospel become pulsating. And I think that's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him intimately, like husband knows his wife, that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. In other words, in his helpless condition, he experienced personally Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. He understands that he did that, the impoverishment of his heart to save, to enrich the salvation of sinners. That's when the gospel is perfected and becomes so real in his heart. A lot of people say, well, Christianity is about truth. Yes, truth leads to emotions. It moves the heart. When? When he felt helpless and powerless. When everything was stripped away. The Bible teaches there's a reason why God allows suffering and hardship among Christians. Number one, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, that God allows hardship in preparation for Christians to help other Christians with sympathy, because that's what you experience, whatever hardship it is. Number two, Hebrews chapter 12 actually teaches us it's a temporal discipline of God. That God's been trying to get your attention and you have kind of shunned him. He brings discipline to wake you, to draw you to himself. Number three, God allows hardship. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. It makes us homesick for heaven. And here, we're told through Paul seeking in his quest, discovers the danger of pride. And this was the only way for God to keep him in the faith, in the gospel. Pride is a scary thing. This is what C.S. Lewis said. In God, you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God. I think that's right. I think we lack in the knowledge of who God is. He wants you to be delightfully humbled, feeling the infinite relief of having for once get rid of all the silly nonsense about your own dignity, which has made you unhappy and restless all your life. Whenever we find that our religious life is making us feel we are good above all, that we are better than someone else, I think we may be sure that we are being acted on, not by God, but by the devil. the prerequisite of experiencing God's grace is humility. Many of you know that I'm a coffee lover. So you guys give me my Christmas gift for coffees. Thank you. You know, my wife says, stop drinking too much coffee. You're diabetic. It's going to affect you. But, you know, I sometimes drink 3 or 4 times a day, and it's still sweet and rich when I drink coffee. But there's one time in my life, not one time, but when this happens, I don't feel the sweetness of coffee. You know what that is? Now, as I get older, you know, I can eat all kinds of food, and I can digest really well. But as I hit my 60s, I have many indigestions these days. You know when I know I have indigestion? When I drink coffee, it's bitter. It's not sweet or rich. It doesn't go down. That's when I know it's something's plugged up right here. And that's like God's grace. Spiritual pride, it pushes away. It tastes bitter. What is the best ingredient for best food? Your appetite. The only way to experience is transformative grace is sometimes in our condition of helplessness. That's why he gave Paul the thorn. And that's what Paul discovered. So Paul's thorn was excruciating pain and constant. Paul's quest in prayer discovered 2 things. That he has a condition to become proud, and at the same time, to prepare his heart to receive grace. The reality of the gospel, the Christ of our Lord, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only here, pulsating in his heart. This leads to our third point, Paul's resolution, verses 9b through 10. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why? For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, understanding the experiencing the transformative power of the cross, the reality of the gospel becoming so pulsating real in his heart, in his weakness, he makes a resolution. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul names his weaknesses. Let's examine them a little bit. Insults. Someone who speaks or treats you with disrespect, call you fool and foolish or belittle you. Hardship communicates severe suffering, a circumstance that was forced upon you, feeling trapped. Persecution. Straightforward. Hostility or ill treatment. Physical improvement. Beating for Paul. Calamities. Causing great and often sudden damage or distress. It's crushing pressure. Paul says, in these weaknesses, I'm content. You see, to the Corinthians, the very ones who turned his back, the very things that look apparently weak to the believers at Corinth, and therefore they turned against Paul, is the very thing, the weaknesses Paul says, I boast in, that is, I treasure in. Paul doesn't boast on his weaknesses and suffering and pain. He's not masochistic. He says, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses. Paul's combating false teachers or false super apostles. Why? Because these groups were actually making a name for themselves by sharing some sort of visions and experiences they had. They were promoting their authority with their spiritual experiences to exalt themselves. But for Paul, he discloses right before this passage, he says, 14 years ago, God took him, whether it's in the body or not, and God showed him third heaven. That's paradise. That's heaven. Paul's experience, he says, surpassing greatness of revelation. Whatever you're sharing, it's unmatched. My experience is cut above, but he never shared it until now. He's kind of forced to share it. He doesn't disclose every aspect of it. Why? Because it was personal between him and God. It was not used to promote himself. It was not used to exalt himself. He sees that what God has shown, he knew that he could become proud, which resulted in a thorn. Paul's resolution, I am content. I am good where God has placed me. I am good with these weaknesses. Why? I know Christ intimately, and through my thorn, I exalt my Lord and Savior. That's a testimony of an apostle who experienced the healing work without healing. Dear church, whatever you're going through, whatever your thorn is, and that could change over our life stages, whatever is causing constant pain, and God's not taking it away, there are two applications for you and I, and they're polar opposite. And I'm done, youth group students. Number one, New Testament scholar says this, much of our suffering arises not just out of our painful condition, but from our feeling of isolation in the midst of our pain. So when I discover that I am no longer alone in my struggles, I experience a new, quote, fellowship in weakness, end quote. There's ministry of grace when you do share. Fellowship with those who also say, when I am weak, I am strong. But while individuals may, in the purpose of God, undergo various religious experiences, and you and I have, these experiences are between us and God. Whenever we use these experiences to promote ourselves, that's not from God. The ecstasy has all the appearance of divine power, but the reality is otherwise. Christ draws near to us and gives his grace and empowers us in our weaknesses. So Paul says, I'm content. When I am weak, I am strong. Whatever that thorn is, The gospel says it's a gift from God to keep you in the faith, to receive his grace. How is that possible? Some of you are saying to me, do you know what I'm going through? I don't, but I know about 75% of what you're going through this congregation. To Paul was given a thorn to a very faithful servant to keep him from becoming conceited. Without it, he might have fallen off faith, lose everything. But he also experienced the power of Christ, the true power of the cross. Why? Because we know of the one who had all the power in the world. But he came into this world to save those who turned back against him, who left his crown and replaced it with a crown of thorns. The one who used to receive the adoration of perfect creatures received the jeers and mocking from his creature that he created. Why? So that we would walk in faith. For Paul, it was a healing story without healing. For our Savior, it was a healing story through his death. May God give you the grace today. Let's pray. Father, we want to be honest with ourselves. We ask ourselves this question, do I know what Paul is saying here? Can I honestly say, for when I am weak, I am strong. Enable us, move us, reveal the good news of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his resurrection in our hearts so real today, so that in our helpless condition, we may say with confidence, I am content in my weaknesses. Show Christ to us today. Minister to those who are hurting, God. You hear them. You see them. You feel their pain. Help them to see you, the true comforter and redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray.